Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Along Came a Writer Network. Opinions expressed in our shows do not necessarily reflect those of the network. Well, welcome to the Along Came a Writer show. I'm your host, Linda Kozar. I'm an author interviewing fellow authors. And it's fun. And I can't wait for you to meet the author I'm interviewing today, Amanda Cleary Eastep. And she's not related to Beverly Cleary. That would have been one of my first questions, but she makes it clear that she wishes she were. She is, however, a children's author, and the Tree Street Kids is her debut series, Moody Publishers 2021 and 22. Her children's writing has been published in Ladybug, The Friend, Sunday School Curriculum, and at Story Warren. As a longtime writer, she's contributed to Christianity Today, Think Christian, and many other print and online publications. She's a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and she leads writing workshops at our local teen center. When she's not writing, she's also the senior developmental editor at Moody Publishers in Chicago, working closely with authors to help shape Christian nonfiction books in the areas of Christian living, church and ministry, and personal and spiritual growth. Welcome to the show, Amanda. That was long.
Thank you, Linda. I hopefully will be a little more brief than that. That's it. That's all we need to know. The show's over.
Well, I know. We just needed to know about you. That's all. But you have these really cute books, and let's see, I see that you're going to have four of them. I mean, you have Jack versus the Tornado, which I'm fascinated with tornadoes, so you grabbed me there.
Oh.
The Hunt for Fang, Lions to the Rescue, and Four is a mystery title because it hasn't,
yes,
you haven't thought of it yet.
because it is a mystery. No, I actually have been working on it recently, so yeah, I'm really excited about it, but not quite ready to share what that's about yet. But I have been, I knew from the very beginning when I proposed the series, Moody had asked me to propose four books, and these are middle grade books, so for ages pretty much 8 to 12, when they asked me to propose the different, you know, ideas for each book, I knew from the beginning I wanted the fourth one to be a mystery. I really love mysteries, although I don't necessarily read them, but I'm a huge fan of British mysteries, and I love watching them and, you know, devour those. But I was listening to your podcast, I think it was in December, with Ramona Richards.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
She was talking. That was fascinating. I thought I should really start you know, listening to some podcasts about mystery, and that was fascinating. That was a really good podcast because she talked about that her characters always needed to be in some kind of peril. And
yeah.
I kind of got a kick out of that because one of the ways I had described on my website, described these books, the Tree Street Kids series, is that the kids are usually in some kind of mild peril.
Well, you know, my theory, because one of the things I write are cozy mysteries, my theory is there's a mystery in every book. I don't care if you're writing historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, nonfiction excluded, but, you know, in every fiction book, there's mystery. There's a little bit of romance. You know, there's just a little bit of everything with the kitchen sink. Except when you want to include
right,
the kitchen.
Because, right, as the plot's unfolding, there is that sense of anticipation, what's going to happen. And for kids, that's, you know, adult readers have more patience with, you know, how things unfold. The pacing in the children's book is a little bit different. So,
you've got to keep them, especially in this age, you know, of instant gratification, you need to just keep them, you know, entertained, or, you know, keep their attention at all times.
Right.
I'm sorry, right. Somebody got lower, and I don't know if you can hear that.
Oh. Yeah. That's, And there's different ways of doing that. I mean, I like to use humor, just the interaction and just kind of those little things that, you know, kids do, dialogue, that those things keep the kids interested as well too. So
yeah. And one of the things I read on your website is you asked a question, is this clean fiction? Can you kind of explain to our listeners what clean fiction is?
Right. You know, that's a term that I came across a few years ago, and I haven't really seen that a lot lately, but I belong to just some different Facebook groups where, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be fiction that's from a Christian perspective, but I think what a lot of parents are looking for is something that they really don't have to, quote unquote, worry that maybe even a topic is going to come up that they would rather introduce to their children, they would rather talk about. Because there's, I would say, even several years ago, I was a big reader and still am of young adult fiction. So that's about 13 mm-hmm. to 17. And you could, especially as you would get into the upper YA, young adult, you could, you know, there might be sexual content, there might be drug use, there might be some language, yeah, something like that. So that was almost expected that could happen in that age group. But your middle grade readers, your middle grade books, your picture books, those were usually not anything that might set off, you know, a red flag for a parent. But that's changed. That's changed drastically. And mm-hmm. yeah, and not that there shouldn't be, you know, relevant topics or serious, you know, plot lines, all those things. But clean usually means there's no language. I guess it would be kind of like a G rating in movies. But again, that's important for parents to read the books their kids are.
Oh boy, definitely. Well, I mean, writing in the Christian market, as I do as well, I mean, we do keep it clean for the most part. some people go a little to the edge of that mm-hmm. of that market.
Right.
I just don't want to disappoint my readers, you know, and nothing works against you more than if you disappoint your readers and they open your book not expecting to see something that bothers them mm-hmm. or disturbs their faith. You know, then they don't want to read your work anymore after that. So I think it's good to be very careful about that and to protect mm-hmm. to protect that trust. So that's awesome. Well, let's talk about your books. I'm excited. Let's talk about the Tornado one first.
Okay. Yeah, so Jack versus the Tornado is book one, and it's so the series is set in the 1990s, which is really kind of nice, you know, especially as we're talking about, you know, there's that nostalgia, I think, for parents who would read with their kids, because a lot of them would have grown up in the 90s of readers. Their kids would be about the age for these books. And so it's the 90s, you know, the kids don't have cell phones. A lot of people didn't even have home computers. And if you did, the kids, you know, they weren't on them all day long. They just weren't connected to the internet like they are now.
Right.
So that really has been just a fun time for me. That's when I raised my kids. It's been a fun time for me to go back to that. And it really allows for the characters to still have some autonomy, some independence. They can't Google anything. They can't call home. Only one of the characters has his little walkie-talkie, so his mom's always, you know, like, in contact with him. But that, you know, there's the element of humor there, and so the 90s is nice. So Jack versus the Tornado is basically almost like an origin story. Each of the books can stand alone, but it really is. We did number them because they do kind of follow a sequence as well. So Jack, this is his origin story. Yeah, he's the main character. It's everything's written in first person from his perspective, although in each book I do try to bring one of the other main Tree Street kids forward a little bit more in their story.
Let me pause a second. Do you feel more comfortable writing in first person as opposed to third? Or, you know, because writers do have their preferences.
Mm-hmm. As I've written different things over the years, I've done both. And I wrote a couple other manuscripts early on that I haven't done anything with, but those were in first person. So I think I do have a comfort level, but with it, but it was a challenge, you know. I'm like, can I write from the perspective of a 10-year-old boy? Let's see.
Oh, well, and but, a male too. That's, you know, it's like
right.
A child and a male.
I don't know. Some of it's that my family has very, you know, sophomoric humor, and we're just kind of childlike anyway, so that may help. That could be part of it. I did, when I proposed the books, I did, when I pitched, I gave samples both from the third person and the first person just to get people's feedback and see, especially the publishers, to see what they thought was working. And we did decide to go with the first person, although that is, you know, it's a little limiting too, but the readers know what they're going to get with each book, so they don't have to make any kind of shift with characters in particular. But Jack is, he's living on the farm with his family and his grandparents, and for his 10th birthday, he gets the worst present ever. He has to move. And so they move to the suburbs. And so it's really about him trying to, he just cannot accept that they've moved to the suburbs. He wants to go back to the farm, and he kind of comes up with this plan to get his family back to the farm. And then there's just some big obstacles that stand in his way of doing that. And one is tornado season. So this is where the tornado comes in. And I based part of that on a couple, because I lived out in the country when I was a kid. And I based the story, part of that, on my experiences with being in a tornado. So
that was my question, because, you know, I mean, you write a little bit of yourself in whatever you write, you know, I mean, that's
for sure.
That's what you do as writers. But so tell us about that experience.
Well, the first one, and this will be a spoiler alert, but I don't think there's kids listening, so it'll be okay. But the first experience we had, we were coming back, driving down the country road, coming back from a reunion, and I do explain all of these on a blog post that I wrote about this, but the one that really works its way into the book is we lived out in the middle of 5 acres, and everything around us was cornfields also, but there was a bad storm, tornado warning one night, and this was back, I don't know, in the 70s or so, and you know, we were down in the basement, and when we got up in the morning, the barn that my grandfather and my dad had built was gone. It was just annihilated. And it wasn't that far from the house, but the house only had some shingles missing. So that always fascinated me about tornadoes, that they could just be so close to one building and not touch it, and something else could be completely, you know, just annihilated. So
it's like,
so yeah,
that
was, yeah, they're fascinating weather systems for sure.
Yeah. So you added that to Jack versus the Tornado. He's, when you say versus, what is what is his part in that? Versus the Tornado, does he see it?
Right,
as
it's
his...
kind of that. Right, it's kind of that man versus nature. If you want to go back to those kind of literary terms, but it's also very much man versus himself in this one. So, it's Jack feeling. There's a lot of themes of, there's biblical themes, but there's also just kind of life themes of uncertainty, and a tornado is just really a metaphor for things that we don't know, you know, like we were just talking about, we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know what it's going to destroy. And it really, what happens with the tornado is that There's a couple encounters that he has with tornado season over the course of the story. And so what he's really fighting is that the tornado ends up taking away something that's precious to him. And so how does he come back from that? How does he, it foils his plans like nothing else could to get back to the farmhouse. So there's a lot of things happening there. And then there's another encounter that he has later in the story where he, it's more of a physical, oh my gosh, there's a tornado, I see it, there's people I need to protect. And so then it takes on a whole different kind of battle for him.
And, you know, you can look back, like you said, biblically, I think Job's children were killed by a tornado,
mm-hmm.
some say, you know, and then was it Elijah or Elisha who heard God's mm-hmm. voice mm-hmm. in a whirlwind, a tornado? Yeah. And then,
I
of course,
get
we grew up. Yeah, me too. And then we grew up watching The Wizard of Oz. That's the first time I saw mm-hmm. A tornado. I mean, they would capture tornadoes sometimes for you to see on television, but that's the scary one, you know, and I think people mm-hmm. have a right to be afraid of them. So, and especially,
absolutely.
You know, from a child's perspective, I think this is really, kids are really going to love this. Mm-hmm. Have you had
yeah, and nothing. Yeah, and when I say that he loses something precious, it's not there's I nobody dies in book in my books or anything like
yeah.
that. Not so far. You know, that kind of loss may come at some point that the kids have to go through, but in this book that's nothing that serious happens, but enough, you know, they're kid-sized challenges. As I would say, not that kids don't have some really huge or terrible challenges in life, but in these books, it's more, I wanted the books to be lighthearted, but real, but also kind of a little bit of an escape, especially with everything that's been going on, and talk about a year of uncertainty. I mean, I feel like these books coming out now, which isn't great for an author to have books released, you know, during a pandemic and post-pandemic and all of that. But kids have had just a crazy, unprecedented year and it's been like that for adults too. So I hope they get to laugh and also enjoy just something that's a little more lighthearted.
Well, yeah, because especially when times are tough, you want to escape and you want to read
mm-hmm.
something more lighthearted because you've had enough of the other stuff. So we better move on. Time's just ticking away. The Hunt for Fang. Let's talk about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Jack's next
right.
adventure.
Yes. So at this point, and I should say the Tree Street Kids are made up of Jack, who came in to the picture late because he was new to the neighborhood, and his little sister Midge. And then the Tree Street Kids that were already established were Ellison. He lives on Oak Street. This is where the Tree Street Kids came from. And then there's Roger and Ruthie. And so they live on Pine and Maple. And they were the original Tree Street Kids who welcomed Jack and Midge, his little sister, into their group. But so he's a little more, he's made his friendships, he's used to his new neighborhood, and now we introduce, his boundaries start to expand a little bit, and the theme of this book is stewardship of the earth and creation, and what are my territories, you know, what belongs to God, what is mine, what is my neighbor's, and so there's, again, a little bit man versus nature here. And then I introduce Buzz Rublas, the bully. The kids go to a survival camp that is at the church, and then they end up needing those skills because somebody gets lost in the woods, in the vast forest preserve that surrounds their neighborhood.
And I wanted to ask, now the bully, all kids have to deal
mm-hmm.
with bullies. How did you handle
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, I really drew a lot from you know, like we mentioned before, we've all had experiences with bullies. I drew from my kids' own experiences. So I really looked at it, I suppose, in this book, it's more the kind of encounters that most people have at some point, where some kid just starts deciding you're the target, they're going to pick on you. And the personalities really develop too, because we're not really sure what Buzz's deal is. He thinks he owns the forest preserve nearby. He thinks he runs the park that's nearby the kids. And Jack is trying to navigate how to deal with Buzz. But at the same time, Midge, who's younger, is ready to go, you know, into she's spunky and like ready to, she doesn't care how big Buzz is like that. So I really just drew from my own experiences. When we talk about bullies today, it's really different than how even my kids grew up. Is miserable, and we know how miserable it can be. I was picked on all through grade school. I mean, it was miserable. And it was hard to avoid it. You really can't. Today, it just seems like it almost turns on some level more, maybe at sometimes more violent, or so I know it just seems different today. I'm not really, you know, there's cyberbullying, all these things that you hear about, but at the heart of it, it's really just trying to figure out, you know, is there some kind of middle ground? Is there, is this other child hurting? I've made friends with bullies. One of my bullies became my best friend. So it's like, can that happen? Is a child just hurting and they're picking on somebody because they're, or is this, you know, is there a deeper issue here?
They usually have a motivation. Yeah.
Right. So this is more, the way I deal with it is more kind of the kind of encounters most all of us have had at some point in our childhood.
Well, I think people, kids will definitely relate to that because, like you said, the bullies are, they're like a step up or down, depending on the way you view it. now they just want to destroy you. You know, destroy your reputation, urge you to take your life. You know, I mean, the bullies, you know, I'll take the bullies back when I was growing up over the bullies now.
Yeah,
and especially, don't you ever wish you could go back as an adult into that situation and say, you know, who hurt you? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the other thing, we may not that all of us have done this, but there were moments where I could definitely look back, and my kids have talked about this too, where we would have been considered bullies at some point in our life because maybe we didn't treat somebody else the way we should have. And so there's that kind of, you know, it might not have been an ongoing thing where, this is the neighborhood bully or this is the school bully kind of thing. But there's definitely times where, as sinners, we've treated people unkindly or picked on someone or made someone feel less, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I think God usually, you know, if you're a believer, you know, you want God to keep you on a short leash, you know, and kind of like just kind of yank you back like, that wasn't cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. we're running out of time. Let's talk about book 3, Lions to the Rescue. And that one's coming out, right?
Books 1 and 2 released together in April, this past April 6th. And then books 3 and 4 will also release together in the summer of 2022. So Lions to the Rescue is Jack has started his new school, and he is really, it's really about how can I be a good friend, and am I a good friend, and how do I make new friends but keep the friends I have, and what does that look like? So this is really about Ellison and Jack's friendship. Ellison is a big book nerd. His dad's a publisher. And he loves books, but he and Jack are really, so far, best friends. But Jack's going into new school, and he really, and he's very sports-minded, really wants to join the Lions Pee Wee football team. And, but does he do that, or does he help Ellison build the best bookmobile bike ever? So there's some really, it's a lot about books and sports. And my husband and I were actually, I'm like, no, and show him, I'm like, explain to me how a pickup game works, because the kids have to practice in the yard, and, you know, where does the wide receiver stand? And where, you know, so I've got my notebook, and it's full of all these scribbles and little X's and O's. And
and
so,
you know,
I think it'll be fun.
And you've picked up on another childhood issue where we come to forks in the road, you know, where you feel you're calling in one direction and maybe your best friend feels a calling in another direction, and you kind of grow apart, you know, and that's one of those hard things you go through.
Right.
In
childhood. And Ellison is black and Jack is white. And so Jack's really also starting to see that Ellison is having a different experience in the suburbs than Jack is. So I bring that into the story as well. And as Ellison's reading some of the books by black authors that he's reading and discovering, and he's trying to explain to Jack why, even though they're great friends, that Ellison is feeling some things that Jack might not understand.
Oh, so the dynamics of that relationship. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask, did you come up with the name Midge from Barbie's little sister?
No. Actually, and I had so much input on that name. Everybody, you know, is running names by people, and some of my friends were like, oh, that's such an old-fashioned name. But that's what back in the 90s, my son's friends started calling my middle child, who was a little girl. that was her nickname. So that was the nickname that my son's friends gave to his little sister.
And it means small.
So that's where that came from.
It means small, so little and small. So that,
yeah,
okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was just wondering, because, you know, Barbie's little sister, I have that doll.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people do it. And actually, the Tree Street Kids came out of a discussion I had with my husband. I said, you know, I come up with a name for this whole series. And I said, what was that group of kids you hung out with in New Jersey? And he said, oh, they were the Tree Street Gang. And, you know, and that's the fun thing about this too, is almost everybody, if you're in a small town, if you're in the city, if you're in the suburbs, there's always streets named after trees. And so I think
that's true.
You know, that can resonate across the board.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And no, I have to ask, do they have a tree house? Because they are the Tree Street Kids.
they don't. They have a very, very unusual little place that they meet, very unusual. That is discovered or uncovered in Jack versus the Tornado. As I don't know, should I tell everybody?
Well, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay. No spoiler alert. We won't say, even though kids are not likely to be listening, but just in case. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. I've had a great time just chatting with you, and it just felt so natural.
Me too.
And so much fun. And I hope that maybe you can come back when number 4, the mystery one, comes out, and we'll talk about that one too and more
oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah, I would love that.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, well, readers, you know where to buy her books. You want to they can go to treestreetkids.com, and they can find you on social media as well. So please go buy those books for the young adult, it's kind of middle school, ages 8 through 12.
Although I'm hearing a lot of adults like them too, so. That's good.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming today, for being a part of this.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.